webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Thank you, Robert Moore, and greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It is hump day, Wednesday, August 10th, 2011, the only August 10th, 2011 in the history of humanity. I have good news for you tonight, folks. I will not be singing. I have an upper respiratory situation happening. I was in Houston last weekend, and Mike Williams anointed me with oil and prayed for me.
And you almost died.
And to quote Mike Williams, it don't work! But the good news tonight, besides the fact that I will not be singing, is that the gospel does work, and we can testify to that fact coming out of the Gospel Revolution Summit that just occurred in Houston over the past weekend. We're going to be talking about that. We want to talk to you tonight as well. Sean O'Halloran is waiting in his cargo shorts to take your calls at 1-800-436-3260. Get on early and often, 1-800-436-3260. If you're calling in the United States and Canada, that is toll free. If you are outside of the North America environ, you can call us too at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. And now without any further ado, let us go to the host, the unteacher, the false Christ, the president, the founder, the grand poobah of the Gospel Revolution and its summit, across the Gulf of Mexico to Houston, Texas. Please welcome online Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Good evening, Glenn.
Good evening, Bella.
It just kind of happens that way sometimes, doesn't it?
Not sometimes. It happens every time. We also want to welcome online in studio for a record third time the administrator and the secretary of defense of here Gospel Revolution. Jeffro Robertson is in from Lake Panasoffkee again. Jeffro!
He's getting better with pronouncing Panasoffkee.
Jeff, thank you for coming down again, bro. And Jeff came to Houston, and Jeff came to Tampa tonight. And He's everywhere. He's enjoying the $5 sushi roll from the rack next door here to the studio. How are you, Jeffro?
Oh, I'm doing good. How you doing?
I have no complaints, and I thank you for caring enough to ask, but I've got to compliment you. You have done not only a phenomenal job throughout your tenure as the administrator of the Gospel Revolution, but really very active since you got back in town to get a bunch of YouTube videos up of Michael's teaching and the sharing and Kate Benham's singing and Ray Harris's slide presentation of the fractals, and there's quite a panorama from the Gospel Revolution Summit on the website.
Yeah, there's a lot to see. People were really, you know, they were biting at the bit. Anybody know what's going on in Houston? And so, it was really fast pace throughout the time in Houston, and it didn't really slow down to normal pace until today. I will sleep tonight. I'll get some sleep.
Now, that is the first time I have ever heard you say that.
Yeah, I know, because I don't sleep.
There is a miracle that is in the process of possibly happening, folks. And you know what we think about miracles. 1-800-436-3260. That is the toll-free number. 800-436-3260. Sean is... Are we getting the ringing? Because I hear something ringing in my ears, but it might be my cold. But I thought it might be a phone line, too. Just want to make sure the lines are open. 800-436-3260, 425-5773 if you're outside of Canada or the U.S. of A. So, we get there, Jeff, myself, the very lovely Carla, get there Friday morning. Chris Zumbaum's there, Kate Benham's there, and then we pick up Grant Miller from Indiana and Jackie Barnard, and I just learned that his last name is pronounced Barnard. I always liked Barnard. It sounded much more poetic for the poet laureate.
Barnard.
Yes, but Robertson corrected me, as is his wont. Jackie Barnard. We go out, Michael, for Chinese buffet.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very. It was actually quite good. Not too far from the Williams Ranch there in Houston. And on the way out, Carla grabs two fortune cookies out of the fortune cookie bowl. And we open the first one. We love the fortune cookie, of course. And, of course, at every fortune cookie, you have to say at the end of each fortune cookie between the sheets, because it fits perfectly with whatever fortune cookie you have. But not this time. So, well, it can kind of, sort of. The first fortune cookie we open up, of the two that Carla picked out, it said, "Good news is coming your way." Now, this is in the pre-Gospel Revolution Summit meal that we're having. Good news is coming your way. So
you might call it the first supper. Huh?
The first supper, indeed.
There you go.
The second one that I opened up, and this I have to say that I have never seen this before, an actual Bible verse in a fortune cookie. It said, "Faith is the thing, or faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things never seen." And that was pretty shocking. And I walked into your home and I announced that we had these two fortune cookies, and you looked at me and you said, as you were walking through the door, that is what I was thinking of, that verse.
That's true.
And I said to you, thank God we don't spiritualize things anymore.
Could get spooky around there.
And I just said it was cool. And see, here's the thing, folks. Cool things do happen. You know what happens sometimes, Michael? There's sometimes a really beautiful sunset that you can appreciate. There's sometimes a really awesome cloud formation that happens. And sometimes you get a fortune cookie that has the Bible verse that the Bible teacher that you respect and love more than any that you've ever known is about to teach you, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So 2 points. First of all, no, folks, we do not think that God put that fortune cookie in there. Number two, please talk to the beautiful humans, and we do have a caller online, but I want you to start rehearsing some of these things that happened at the summit. You taught about faith, and you taught about the substance, and you taught about that the only substance in the universe, the true substance, is the faith, not in Christ, but of Christ.
Yeah, it was, goodness gracious, it was quite a weekend. We talked about what truth is, and we came up with four fundamentals about the issue of truth, and we were talking about its finite and infinite nature. We talked about its fractal nature, which we'll try to explain a little bit more to you. And you can actually go online now on the website, I guess it is, and actually see pictures of fractals. But as we were opening the sessions, which were more designed for open discussion than it was for me to teach, I opened my mouth and without thinking that I was going to do so, I started to teach.
Let me interject here right now that there were about 17 people in your living room at the summit. And the absolute unmitigated joy that I witness on people's faces. We're going to talk about the atmosphere that was at the summit.
Oh, my.
But the fact that these folks that have listened, And you folks that are listening around the world, whether you are live or on the archive, can relate to this. These folks that have sat and listened to scores, hundreds of hours of Mike Williams' teachings, not really expecting a teaching, are now sitting in Mike's living room hearing him teach from a bar stool at his kitchen counter. That was pretty damn cool.
Well, it was for me, and as I said, it was unexpected. And but the comparisons, as I have learned in the last several years about the issue of outer and inner space, is that inner space is exactly like outer space. There is no end to it, and it's mostly made up of space. It is outer space and inner space. Thus, it's all space. The fact that there is nothing truly solid on this planet, including ourselves, and the fact that we are mostly space.
And that we know scientifically. That we
yes,
are,
this
we,
is, these we, are scientific facts.
Right, we are mostly space.
We are mostly emptiness, you know. So, and if you took the water out of us, honestly, there wouldn't be but just a few pounds left of us. And much less the space, the space between the molecules and the atoms and the nucleus of the atoms, even to that most inner space. There's no end when you look out, but you got to understand there's no end to looking within. It is, they've not found the end of either of these places, whether you look out or look in. There has not been found a definite stopping point or a solid point or place. In fact, when I was in school, they told us the nucleus of the atom was the smallest particle and was solid. That was substance. And then only to find out just a very few years after I went to school that was not true at all, that nucleus of the atom actually was made up mostly of space and many other particles, and the subatomic world that was discovered and therefore continued like outer space, inner space has continued. So, we're sitting there and I've got a granite countertop there, and I'm, hitting the ground or granite countertop and saying this is not solid. There is no such thing as anything solid on this planet. It feels that way. It's our perception that it's that way. And then the term that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that, in comparison to the shadow of the law mentioned in chapter 10, just became very real to me. And I begin to think how powerful it is that the substance of faith, and that faith for the righteousness of God, and that faith being God's faith for his own righteousness to be imparted unto us, is the only real substance to life. Now, we deal with life based on what we think is real around us, but the fact of it is none of this is real. I know that concept, even especially for my brain, is really difficult to grasp, since I'm sitting here on a piece of furniture in my living room, and the walls are up, the air conditioning is on occasionally, and holding the cool air in. But these things, just the same as that this room is made up mostly of space, so am I.
You're on your couch right now, aren't you?
I am. I'm in my corner.
You're in your spot.
That's a surprise.
See, I am in my corner.
I'm in the most
wonderful place on earth.
See, that is something that all the summit goers now can totally picture. You in your spot.
Me in my spot, yes.
Yes, and, but the couch that you're on that now has your body concaved,
almost my imprint.
Yes, it's pretty much nothing but space.
It's just space, and even the concrete that is under it is all made up of space. The earth, the ground under it, is made up of, the majority of it is space. You'd think that the majority, there might be a little space in there, but the fact of it is that even the subatomic world has proven to be made up of mostly space. Just like when you look out and you see mostly space, but there's stars and there's planets and all of this, that is exactly the way it looks to the very depth of everything you can see within as man understands it now. But then the audacity of the quote the statement Paul made, that faith is the substance of all things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that was not given as a reference of this, you use faith and these things will happen. In fact, Jesus made it very clear that faith and believing is not a part of the experience of human beings on this planet. In fact, he proved it. He proved that faith does not exist in the human race and that believing does not exist in the human race. Whenever you get into areas to where of religion that is trying to get you to trust and to believe or to have faith in something, believe and have faith, believe and have faith, Jesus proved it. Nobody has it. What we rely on, though, is the substance of the faith of Jesus himself, who has given the human race something that is of substance, and that substance is so powerful that it links all of us together intricately in the most powerful way and literally causes us to become that God and we together all become one. We literally are a substance. This is the results of faith. The results of faith is that substance has come, the substance of what was hoped for, the evidence. There's also evidence of this. This is the powerful thing about this faith, is that there's evidence that righteousness now dwells in this planet.
Exactly. And it is not our faith, and it is not our righteousness. It becomes our faith, and it becomes our righteousness, not to anything that we did or anything we deserved.
Or anything we will do.
Right.
But it just simply is our substance. It's where we stand. It's there's something very solid about this.
And as you said at the summit, this is the power of God. The power of God.
It is the power of God.
This is the power of God, folks, is not healing. The power of God is not being anointed with oil. The power of God is not falling over and laughing. The power of God is not having all your bills taken care of, your marriage perfect, or your children perfect, or your marriage perfect. Michael, the power of God is the saving, renewing, cleansing power of the soul.
Absolutely.
And as you said so concisely and so perfectly, it is a thought that has impacted and is impacting humans' brains. And that is the most powerful thing that can happen on the planet.
It absolutely is. People are the religiousness on this planet, including Christianity, is making a very desperate mistake in trying to find the power of God by revisiting the realm of the miraculous. They try to find the power of God in healing, or even looking back at the parting of the Red Sea and the feeding of the all of Israel by manna, which manna meant, what is it? And they got fed by what is it, and it all evaporated. It was only good for the day. But you see, when we begin to look at what that has all become, you see, all of that was a shadow. Those were only shadows.
Exactly.
Do you realize that the parting of the Red Sea was only a shadow?
It was a foreshadowing.
Absolutely. Of this incredible, miraculous work that would link the entire, not just link the entire human race together, but first, kill off the old image of God, recreate the human race, in Christ, not in the image. See, this is the whole difference. You see, we're not in the image of God anymore. We're in God. We're in Christ. He is in us.
Yes.
And it's hard to even say one way, because it's not just that we are in God, it's God is in us. It's not just that we are in Christ, Christ is in us. We are in and part of each other and inseparable. There's absolute substance to this union that we have. Marriage was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. This incredible covenant that the power of God doesn't show up in the marriage, because the marriage was fulfilled when the power of the gospel united the entire human race together in one. You see, there's so many things about Christianity that has diverted our attention away from the power of God to give attention to that which used to be the power of God. The simple foreshadowing of the power of God. The power of God is now made manifest was made manifest 2,000 years ago at the cross. I don't know why Christians even talk about the cross. They make it such a vapid, empty place to where that nothing really changed. It's just God gave us an opportunity to create a new religion. And that's all Christianity has done with the gospel.
Right. That's what Christianity says, is that
yes.
God gave us an opportunity to create a new religion. The last thing that the world needed and that the world needs is a new religion. Do you beautiful humans realize that the difference between you and the Almighty is indecipherable? It's not decipherable.
Correct.
We literally are one. God and we and we and we are one. This is a very, very, you talk about the power of God. This is the gospel. This is why we're on the radio every frickin' week, to tell you that you and God are one.
Yeah.
We're going to be
and
talking.
And that is the power of God.
That is the power of God. That is the substance, folks. That is
it's greater than the parting of the Red Sea. Yeah, there is nothing you can compare to.
We disrespect the Egyptians who died when the Red Sea came back together. Do you understand that they were a foreshadowing of Christ? That firstborn that died in Egypt was a foreshadowing of Christ? Do you understand that those people that died in the salvation and the redemption of Israel were a foreshadowing of Christ? That's what Jesus said. That's what, as Ray says, that's what Josh said, that it was all about him.
Yeah.
That was the beautiful thing. There's so many beautiful things that came out of the Gospel Revolution Summit. It was a family reunion. Here were the folks that were gathered in Houston this last weekend, and that's exactly what it was, were folks that had never seen each other before. Many had never been together before. Including Jeff Robertson, yours truly, Carla Barton from Florida, Michael from Houston, Ray Harris from Houston, Chris Harrington from Nacogdoches, Texas, Nate and Marge Williams from Texas, Kate Benham, who hopefully we'll be hearing from later on. Well, we'll definitely be hearing from her later on in the webcast. Kristen Bolland from Illinois, Robert Moore from
Nashville, North Carolina.
From North Carolina, Grant Miller from Indiana, Jackie Barnard from Tennessee, Mary Keller from Colorado, Richard Mull, who was teleconferenced in from SoCal. We'll be talking about Richie Mull later on in the webcast. And our first caller tonight came in from Wachuca City, Arizona. Please welcome online. It was so great to have her. Billy Thompson was there, and she is here now. Billy!
Hi, Glenn.
Billy.
Hi, Mike.
Hey,
hi, Deb.
Are you still in are you still in afterglow mode?
Yes, I am. I really am. And I called in because you told me to. I'm a good girl, huh?
You are a good girl, no doubt about it.
I am still in afterglow. This that teaching was mind-boggling, Mike. When you started talking about fractals and the power of God and the substance of God, and when you think of one little atom that looks like another, or one little fractal, one little piece, everything is just a duplicate, you know.
Yeah.
And like you take an object and you take it apart, and it just keeps getting, you know, to the smallest part.
Why don't you describe, Michael, and define? You can look this up, obviously, on Google and on the internet, folks. But Michael, define what a fractal is.
Well, I didn't have a clue what a fractal was until just a few months ago, when Chris Harrington and I were talking. Of course, if you ever want to learn anything brand new you never heard of before from any human, just talk to Chris Harrington, because you will hear it. And he was telling me about about what I was doing, and he was telling me that it was very fractal. And I said, I don't even know what you mean by fractal, and what is a fractal? And he said, well, you can go online, and there's pictures of them. And sure enough, I went online and I found pictures of fractals. I have to tell you, I had an experience that was really quite amazing when I saw my first picture and realized I was looking at a fractal, because I realized I was looking at an expression of the gospel, a picture of the gospel. It really was just so amazing to me. A fractal is something that in its entirety and all of its individual parts, the individual parts are a complete representation of the whole. You'll see that when you get online and look at these. The interesting thing about them is that with all this design and this incredible repetition, is that it doesn't fit within geometric design. There's no geometric equation for a fractal. Thus, it's called a fractal. It is something that repeats itself over and over. And it is in nature. Fractals is in nature. It's in ferns. It's in you can find it in broccoli. Oh my gosh, it's just amazing.
When Paul the Apostle said that you can see the gospel in nature, he had no clue what he was talking about.
Oh, I you know, only in his dreams could he have possibly known. I think there's still more that we can learn from what Paul had to say that we haven't seen yet. But there's things we're seeing now. I mean, I think Paul would have just absolutely gone into one of his ecstasies. Oh, the majesty of the glory and the greatness. He would have done another one of those, as he did in the book of Romans, after saying that God declared all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. That revelation, Paul went into this ecstasy for the next three verses of that chapter, of just out of the box expression of emotion and gratefulness and in awe of the power of God. When I saw this pictures of fractals, that is in some form what happened to me. I cried when I saw a fractal, because I knew, already knew, that if I teach, you see, and here's the thing. You know, I've said for quite some time now that I discovered, I didn't plan it, I discovered that I never have to say if and but or maybe when I share the gospel, no matter which subject I talk about. If I talk about sin and I teach sin based on the scriptures, again, based on the scriptures, if I teach on sin based on the scriptures, I never have to say if and but or maybe. If I teach on righteousness based on the scriptures, I never have to say if and but or maybe. If I teach on the priesthood of Jesus, I never have to say if and but or maybe. If I teach on the sacrifice, I never have to say if and but or maybe. I hope you get the point. There is not a single gospel subject that I have had to. I'm still open the door. I'm still open to the possibility that I might have to say if and but or maybe. Only thing I can tell you is, to this point in sharing the gospel, I have yet to say if and but or maybe in an explanation or a definition. When somebody asks, has sin been done away with? Yes. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. Has everyone been made righteous? Yes. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. Did the high priesthood of Jesus, did he represent the entire human race when he became high priest? Yes. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. Did the sacrifice that was given at the cross, did it cover all sin? Yes. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. So you see, this is repetitive. It becomes horribly repetitive, wonderfully repetitive,
wonderfully
and reflective
repetitive
of every piece of truth that there is, and forms this beautiful picture that shows us that we're all one.
Exactly. And why this is a fractal, folks, is because one aspect of what Mike, and by the way, good preaching, Robert. why this is a fractal is because the smallest aspect or any aspect of the gospel shows the whole picture. Your DNA is a fractal. It tells everything about you in the smallest of detail, and yet it tells the entire story. That's a fractal. I cannot encourage you enough to go online, and we'll have pictures of the fractal on the e-newsletter, just so you can understand in our communication what we're talking about. But you can look this up. Paul had a revelation of God's grace. He had a revelation of the gospel. He was the only disciple. He was the only apostle that had a revelation of this. Not coincidentally, the only apostle as well that was a scriptural scholar. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, he said. And the other, as we're learning, and this is a teaching that's going to be coming in the future, the Peters and the James and the Johns and the Judes of the world, who were not scriptural scholars, they had no gospel in their letters, and in their writings.
They were the false apostles.
They were apostles, but they
were... Paul called them false apostles.
Yeah, he did.
Paul did?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
Paul said, who are these people who write these terrifying letters to you? These are false apostles. The only terrifying letters I've read are from Peter, Jude, and James, and a little bit of John. John's not terrifying. He's just condemning. That's all.
That's pretty terrifying. That's Jeff Robertson, Mike Williams in Houston, Glenn Klein online, Billy Thompson in Arizona. So, Billy, I mean, just tell the beautiful humans out there what you felt and what you experienced.
Just the most wonderful family in the world.
It was a family reunion.
No barriers. Like, we just immediately understood each other. And I wish I could have said what you said about fractals. The simplest way I could put it to myself was the tiniest little thing, which is, you know, the substance of God. And you put all these things together, and you've got me, and you've got you.
Yeah.
And we're all God. We're all one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what was really just so amazing to me, is that I'm walking around with a whole bunch of God in me. To put it, you know, in the simplest terms.
Technically, you're walking around with all of God in you.
There is
no end. There is no end. That weekend
it's all or nothing.
Yeah. That weekend was too short, wasn't it, Billy?
Pardon me?
I said that weekend was too short, wasn't it?
It was. It could have lasted at least 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been fine with me.
I think it would have been fine with everyone here.
Yeah, and I wish we could have had a lot more people there, you know, like James Taylor and Gio and Pep and jillions of them. Yeah.
Jillions. That's what we're speaking to right now. We're speaking to the jillions, and it will be a big old family reunion at some point.
Yes.
And everybody will have had the understanding, Mike, whatever heaven is, and obviously we have no idea of what it's going to be like, it's going to be a big old family reunion.
No doubt. I think that is like what Billy is saying, and Jeff, and you, and I kind of can prophesy right now that everyone that was here and who attended, who will call in, the one thing they're going to speak about is this incredible sense of family. I mean, ridiculously so. The not striving to try to communicate or to relate. No striving to communicate or relate. And let me tell you, you talk about a diverse group. This was as diverse even in its, in the small gathering, because my living room and dining room, we pulled the furniture back. We pushed everything back every way we could, and we got 17 people here. My entire house is only, over 1,700 square feet. And, but the one thing that nobody had to do is to try to relate. That was already there. See, this is the power of the gospel. I think one of the things that was very revealing to me, I learned. I literally had this summit so I could learn, and believe me, I did learn. One of the things I learned by having these folks here in my home was that the substance of what Jesus did, the faith and the righteousness, had so, the awareness of our oneness was so great, the need to try to relate had disappeared. It dissipated. There was it what usually stands in between people as they do this little dance of trying to get to know each other, it just evaporated in the presence of everybody walking into this room together. It evaporated. That is the thing that I learned, is that what I've tried to say about the gospel, I actually got to watch it happen as people who know and understand the righteousness of God and the power of the faith, that it's completed. We're not trying to perform for anybody. We're not even trying to perform for God.
We're especially not trying to perform for God.
Absolutely. And here we stand in each other's presence. And everyone here felt they had known each other all of their lives, if not beyond all of their lives. And I think that that's going to be a growing phenomenon, not just in the gospel revolution. But see, we're wanting people, we don't want people to have to come through the gospel revolution to understand and to experience this. We're really looking forward to that people around the planet begin to get this understanding, totally separate from us. I know they have, and I know they will continue to. It's just an experience is all it is. It's not a performance. It was just an experience that we all had. The teaching that I gave certainly was far from a performance. I had no clue I was going to do it. Didn't study for it, didn't prepare for it, which is not unusual. But to the ultimate, I did not prepare for any of this.
That is not true. You've been preparing for it your entire life. how old are you going to be next week? 59, 58?
Did I hear 59 somewhere? Well, I've already been telling everybody 60 just to ease the landing. You
were preparing for it for 59 years, and we all appreciate it. And Billy, we appreciate you calling, honey. Thank you so much,
Billy.
Call every single week.
Miss you already, Billy.
I'll try to.
All right.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye, Billy.
Bye, Billy.
Bye.
Okay. Bye, bye.
Billy was even patient when she and Jackie Barnard went on a little shopping excursion and got really lost in Houston. And Jeff had to navigate them back in. Jeff was patient. Billy was patient. I think even Jackie was patient. And
I had to walk down to Jones Road and avoid getting hit. It was the only way they were going
to
find
it. Well, that's not the first time that's happened to you, bro.
No, it's not.
All right. And one of the guys that was there at the summit was just a beautiful man, Robert Moore, who you guys have been appreciating his gift to the Gospel Revolution for well over a year now. And he produces all of our spots in the intro, and that was just fantastic. He actually happened to be in Houston because his mom was having medical treatment there, and he came over for the Gospel Revolution Summit, and God, it was good to meet him and get to see him in person, and has produced our latest spot, which we are going to go to now. And we're going to be back. We've got Kate and Ray online. We're going to get to them. We're going to hear Kate's music. We want to hear from you, too, at 800-436-3260. If you're listening live, and it's about 20 minutes till 10 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. of A., that is your cue to give us a call. Sean is waiting to take your call, 800-436-3260, or all over the planet, 813-425-5773. When we return right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
In the beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, male and female, and call them Adam." And it was good. In the fall, the image of God was corrupted, but not forever.
When God created man in his own image, and we're not talking about somebody else creating an image, we're talking about God himself creating man in his own image. And then the fall of man, God knew he would have to destroy his own image. Let me tell you something I know now about the new creation, that your heart is designed by God to suffer, endure, and recover from all loss, no matter how horrific the loss is.
The Image of God. This 6-CD series is available for $48 plus shipping and handling, or download it now for $24 by clicking the download link at gospelrevolution.com. The Image of God. Get your copy today.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you for showing up.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing your gift with the world and with the Gospel Revolution. Well, you got to put it back.
Yeah, sorry. I've got to tell you what Robert said today.
All right, go ahead.
He said that Glenn Klein is one sexy man.
Oh, you know what? I appreciate his gift even more.
Well,
he's even more gifted than he was now, right?
We figured it out.
No, it's just articulated now a little bit better. This is Glenn Klein Online, suffering through a major respiratory illness. But you got to play hurt sometimes, folks. You just have to play hurt. And I am playing and webcasting hurt tonight. But I've got Jeff Robertson in the studio with Sean O'Halloran. Michael is in the home offices and also in Houston, Texas. Now online is the Josh Freak of the Gospel Revolution and our lyricist and our... Well, let's just say she was a major highlight of the Gospel Revolution Summit. Please welcome online Ray Harris and Kate Benham from Houston. Kate, Ray!
Hello!
Hi!
Hello, you beautiful humans.
Hey, kids.
Hello.
How are you?
Very wonderful, thank you.
Kate, did you see the e-newsletter that went out with your picture eating a s'more on Michael's patio?
No, I did not.
Are you serious?
I saw the YouTube clips that are on the website now.
Yes, and we're going to be getting to one of those YouTube clips right now. You guys, just go to gospelrevolution.com. Jeff has already posted right on the homepage the YouTube videos that have come out of the Gospel Revolution Summit. And Kate brought her guitar from Australia. I hope they didn't charge you extra on what airline did you fly over on?
I flew on V Australia, Virgin Australia. Great service from across there. Good leg room, your own entertainment system on the way over.
Well,
so
that is really a misnomer.
Because
we know there are no Virgins in Australia.
Well, yeah.
Well, there probably are some still.
All right.
Well, so here, the first song that Kate sang is what we're going to hear right now. And this is about as declarative a statement on the gospel and our position on Christianity as you could possibly have. Please now enjoy from the Gospel Revolution Summit just completed in Houston, Texas. Kate Benham, I am not a Christian.
I believe the world is won, I'm not a Christian. I believe the battle's won, I am not. And I believe the kingdom's come, I'm not a Christian. One light lit up everyone, I am not a Christian. Yeah, well I am not. I see the law taken away, I am not a Christian. I see there's no more price to pay, I am not. And I can see we're all okay, I'm not a Christian. There is no coming judgment day, I am not a Christian. Ain't that good news? Well, that's good news. I am not a Christian. Now that's good news. Ain't that good news? I am not a Christian. Well, I don't buy what you're trying to sell. I am not a Christian. I don't believe the devil's well. I am not. I don't believe there is a hell. I am not a Christian. And I don't believe in sinners. as well. I am not a Christian. Ain't that good news? Now that's good news. I am not a Christian. Now that's good news. Ain't that good news? I am not a Christian. Oh, I believe the two agreed. I am not a Christian. It ended all religious need. I am not. And I believe the world's redeemed. I'm not a Christian. Oh, and I am sure that love will lead once we'll stop trying to be Christians.
Yeah!
That's good news. Ain't that good news? I am not a Christian. Now that's good news. Ain't that good news? I am not a Christian. It's all good news. It's all good news. I am not a Christian. It's all good news. It's all good news. I am not a Christian.
Awesome.
One thing I know is that everybody around the world that is listening to that right now has got a smile on their face. Oh my God. I've got a ear to ear smile. I want to hear that again, but we will not take time. But, Kate, every single line in that song has got, that song is a fractal. Every single line in that song describes the gospel.
Right.
How did you do that?
I just wanted to highlight that what Christianity believes and what the gospel is are just two just polar opposites. And so I just thought I'll state what they believe in a roundabout way, you know, just to make fun of it a bit, because really they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe he did anything. I don't know what this system's all about, but somehow it's just got this energy of its own and it's going on deceiving people. I just wanted to put it out there that, you know, just for them to maybe take a look at themselves and see the hypocrisy.
You sang in your song that the devil's not well.
Mm-hmm.
And two agreed. That was awesome. I believe two agreed too, and it wasn't me, and it wasn't you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just good news. It's just all good news.
That's right.
That song is such a great representation of the fractal nature of the gospel. Each line, almost each word, it's just amazing that these subjects have become so simple and reduced from complex. Let me tell you one thing that the gospel is not, is it is not complex. I was looking at a quote from Albert Einstein today, and I want to read this to you. I think it's very, very telling that such an intellectual man would have such a statement. He says, any intelligent fool can make things bigger, more complex, and more violent. I think that's a good description of Christianity. It takes a touch of genius and a lot of courage to move in the opposite direction. That's the gospel revolution. Let me read that one more time. Any intelligent fool can make things bigger, more complex, and more violent. It takes a touch of genius and a lot of courage to move in the opposite direction.
You know, hearing that, here's our challenge, folks. When I hear that, I think to myself, why can't we come to a resolution? Why can't we come to solutions? It's not that difficult. We make it a lot more complicated, Michael, than it needs to be, because we've got a bunch of people who are in charge, especially, and people running around the planet who are not in charge, that have not yet had their minds renewed. They don't have their souls being cleansed on a consistent basis by the gospel. But the gospel brings to a, to quote a famous teaching, a vital, logical, rational, mental disposition. And it becomes harder and harder to relate to those who are not being rational.
Yeah, it's it is so fun being rational. It is so fun being logical. You just begin to swim in it, and you realize there's no end to this logic. There is no end to this this awesome understanding that it is not something you have to put in a box, in a building, in a doctrine, in a code, in a creed. That it is so vast. It is literally like the universe in and of itself. There is nothing more universal. Here's one thing that the Catholics figured out. The term church literally does mean universal. So they call themselves the Universal Church, Catholic Church. And Catholic means universal. They saw that about the church, so they took on the term universal. But you see, they are not universal. They are far from anything, far from universal. Just because they go around the planet does not create universality. The gospel is universal in that it has encompassed everyone, regardless of their age, their race, any place that they live, regardless of their knowledge of any subject or lack of knowledge of any subject. Regardless of their belief or lack of belief in anything, anyone, anywhere on this planet.
Regardless of their behavior, folks.
Absolutely. And
your behavior does not qualify you in any way, shape, or form. The behavior of the last man, the last Adam, he qualified. He qualified all humanity. That is the universal nature of the gospel.
Absolutely. And universal and fractal nature, and finite and infinite nature, and the effect on everyone equally nature of the truth of the gospel. And this makes so much sense. I just can't imagine being a Catholic, a Baptist, an Episcopalian, a Pentecostal. I mean, the list goes on. There's 50,000 of them broken down into variations of these. And many more that I would never be able to even tell you about. But the thing of the awesomeness of the gospel is the gospel includes all of those people. It does not include and embrace their beliefs as Carlton Pearson teaches. It embraces and includes everyone who is a Hindu, everyone who's a Buddhist, everyone who believes, doesn't believe, loves, hates, God or anybody else. It includes everyone. And the nature of the gospel does not include your views of God. You see, that's all religion is what people have decided what they think about God. I can tell you they are all wrong, and let me tell you something else. I am wrong about what I think about God. But you see, the gospel, I'm not trying to figure out what I think about God. The revelation of the gospel and the reason that it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, is because it is a revelation of God's view and opinion of the entire human race, us individually. This is the fractal nature of it, of us individually and of everyone else. That same truth repeats itself billions of times over around this planet and has repeated itself billions and will continue to repeat itself billions of times around this planet as in individuals, and as the whole, the picture is still the same. The picture of righteousness is the same for me as an individual as it is for the whole planet. For every person that has ever existed before and after the cross, everyone that will ever live, there is no more righteousness that will ever be on this earth than what dwells in me right now.
Yes.
And what dwells in you and what dwelt in Hitler. There is no difference. And the fractal nature of this is so profound and so pervasive. It ditches all nonsense of religion and leaves it in the waste heap of the ages. That's where we want to see religion go. including Christianity, we don't have a religion we're standing for, because I do not promote a view of God. We're all open to talk about what we think about God, and we did. There was times that people stopped in our summit, and people exchanged their views of God. You know what we all come up with? It doesn't make any difference what I think about God. There is no power in what I think about God. There is no power in what I think about God. The power of God is in what he thinks about me, and he thinks it equally about every human being that has ever been now or ever will be since the cross. And it never ends.
Hey, guys, it's me, Ray.
Hey, Ray. Ray, how are you today?
Gospelly. I'm still working on making that something that comes out of me naturally, so. I was just thinking, I mean, just the whole talking, the whole oneness, and, you know, being at the summit with all these people, first time seeing their faces, and you fall in love with them firsthand because you don't know anything about them, yet you know everything there is to know about them without having to talk about anything. And you know, I remember, hey, Billy, when I first sat down and talked to her, we were both talking about how there was no need to put up a mask to get to know somebody else or to observe other people. There was no need to have a mask. We were automatically family, being in that same space, being in the gospel, all family right off the bat, without having to get to know each other. In fact, if I could handpick my family, those are the people I would pick.
I totally agree with that. Did you hear what Ray just said, folks? If we could hand pick our family, there's nobody else that we would pick other than you. You that are listening around the world right now, you're listening on the archive. You're listening.
Oh my gosh.
You're listening 6 months after we did this show live on this August evening in 2011. We couldn't pick you better. One of the things, Michael, Kay, you still with us? Okay. One of the things that is a mark of Christianity is that the churches are dominated by women for whatever reason. We could go into the sociology of that. But the beautiful thing about the gospel and the gospel revolution is that here we have this little summit with about 17 people, and it was pretty much 50-50 of men and women.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we had Carla Barton, Kate obviously was a huge part of it, Marge Williams, Billy Thompson, who you heard earlier, Mary Keller. There is something about the fact that religion and Christianity has denigrated women, and yet women have been drawn to it in larger numbers, and yet the gospel literally levels the playing field perfectly. There is no separation between men and women. There's no separation between humans and God.
Right.
Kate, I mean, I have to say this. You know, I've been with you several times now personally. You seem empowered as a woman by the gospel.
Yeah, well, it's like there is no male or female. We're just free to express who we are. And so I happen to be a woman. I happen to understand the gospel. So I'm taking my stage on the platform here that we have to promote that. But, yeah, I just see there's no male or female. It's just the most wonderful thing. You know, we all understand the gospel, and so we're just sharing it from our hearts. That was what was so wonderful to me. We all were saying the same thing, but in different ways. So Grant Miller, who I love so much, and who I just, it was such a buzz to meet Grant.
He was fine, wasn't he?
Yes. And so, you know, he's expressed it in his book, Think and Be Free. If you don't have it, go and get it. Just we all expressed the same thing. We can all relate so much. Just from our different creativity places. So mine is music, Grant's is his writing. So we're all from a different place, but we're all saying the same thing. It's just giving a well-rounded perspective on the gospel from all different angles of creativity. I just love it.
And not only, Michael, are the sexes one, but the sexualities are one. And I have to say this, folks. We had 17 beautiful humans represented in Houston, and all sexualities were represented there, Michael.
To the best of my knowledge, there was.
There are certain things that we do know, and there was zero separation. There was no hesitation.
Zero.
Folks, I cannot encourage you enough to contemplate this gospel. It will bring oneness to your own heart. Kate sings a song, and we have to play it at another time, but Kate, talk to the beautiful humans a little bit about your song, how the lion fell in love with the lamb, and how you say it so perfectly in your song, but you don't know how it happened, but you became at peace with yourself.
Mm-hmm. So Christianity has taught us that there's parts of our nature, there's parts of yourself that are so truly you, as much as any other part, that you need to deny that. And like the gospel just embraces you exactly where you're at, it's all right. There's nothing that you need to deny. There's nothing. You're beautiful, you're perfect. Mm-hmm. You were not born a sinner, you were born righteous. And so there's no part of your nature, no matter how contradictory it may seem, because you're trying to line yourself up with Christianity, thinking this is good, this is bad. Really, the lion didn't just lay down with the lamb. That means the lion fell in love with the lamb. The lion and the lamb made love. Mm-hmm. Let the lion and the lamb make love in you, because both those parts are beautiful. There's nothing in you that you need to deny. There's nothing. You know, follow your heart, and that's what that song's about. And following my heart has been something that has just been so special to me just recently. Just amazing. You know, you can trust your heart, follow your heart, both those natures, both those instincts. Beautiful and perfect, you know.
Yeah, you know what this is reminding me? Glenn made a very quick quip when Kate was explaining this song right before she sang it to us. And for those of you who are on the internet, go to Facebook, watch it, or our YouTube channel and watch it. Because she was trying to explain that Christianity tries to get you to get rid of those parts of you that are, and Glenn quipped right up. He said, that's not a Christian. It was sharp. He was dead on. They want to... They don't want you to be yourself. They are trying to make you into what they have defined as righteous and perfect and everything, which is nothing but filthy rags. I mean, they're trying to get you to not fall in love with yourself, not discover yourself, who you really are, and
You know, Michael, you talk about the finite and the infinite nature of the gospel. We literally, folks, as far as God is concerned, are clones of Christ. And yet, we are as infinite and as unique, Michael, as our fingerprints. We are perfectly righteous and yet could not be any more unique in our individuality.
No two snowflakes alike.
I wanted to make a comment about the summit. I was talking to Kate earlier, and I think I said this to Mike, too. I really had my heart out for my mom, because I wish she could have seen this group of people, because with her in church, the people that she goes to church with, the relationship does not go outside of that building. There's no hanging out. There's no personal time. There's no get to know each other time. And then here, you go into the gospel. And you are at home with this person now. Where to think that 90, this is how I would say it, 95% of the conversation that entire weekend was about the gospel. And then when you go outside of church, as far as my mom, when you get outside of church, the friends of hers that she's known her entire life, when they're at home or wherever they are, God, church, none of it is the topic of discussion. But here, the gospel is the center of our lives. And there's just no way you can go 5 minutes without not mentioning something about it. Because my mom, she would always say, you need to be in church, you need to da 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 da, you need to do this, you need to go to church and all this stuff. And it's like, I am talking about the gospel all day, nonstop, with everyone I come in contact with, all day, nonstop. The people that share the same gospel as me, all day, nonstop. And it's just, this is something, according to church, that we're supposed to be doing.
You know, Michael, even if Christians get together and do talk about Christianity or about the state of the world as they see things from a religious perspective, they're still putting on masks.
Yeah.
And because they can't admit who they really are. And the sharing that went on in your living room, there were no masks. The mask, I was going to say the mask came off, but there were never any masks to come off.
Exactly.
No.
Nobody had anything to hide.
No, and that is the nature of the gospel, is that it does have the power, the saving of the soul, is that it gives the soul its identity outside of its reflections on anything, any person, place, or thing. It's one of the topics that I presented at the summit, and was had questions for the people. We got some great response and input. But
questions are really good too.
The power of this gospel is it sets the soul in a place to find its identity without determining its identity based on its relationship with any person, place, or thing. It is just amazing. So therefore, it is right, as Jeff said, no masks and had come off. There just weren't any. There is no need for it. You don't have to try to be something or pretend in any way. In Christianity, I can tell you, the whole thing is pretense. It is fake from get-go to all the way through. It's all fake. Because it all has to do with man's righteousness, not God's righteousness. The identity of a Christian, I don't care which one it is, the identity of a Christian, which branch or breed, the identity of a Christian is tied up in what someone else thinks about in relationship to some person playing. Church identity, congregation identity, what they are to each other as they give off a reflection to each other. We look in the face of Jesus for a reflection of who we are. And in the face of Jesus, there is a perfect reflection of who, not only, but see, I find out when I look unto Jesus, I don't just find my own reflection. I have the great joy of knowing I just saw the whole human race. You see, that reflection is the only reflection that we have. Our identity is established in Christ, in God. So we're not looking for can you imagine people say, well, do people have a multitude of personalities? Oh, absolutely they do, because you are who you are in front of somebody else that you're not in front of somebody else. And that is multiplied. You talk about a schizophrenic and crazy multiple personality creator. It is Christianity and many other religions around the world, but especially Christianity.
Yeah, not like
in Christ, we are all one.
Right.
We don't have to look into the face of each other to say, "What do you think about me?" We know what God thinks about us, and we know what God thinks about you and everybody else on this planet.
You know, when I was in Wisconsin recently, I was sitting next to a woman that happened to just leave Rob Bell's church, the guy that wrote the book that Love Wins, and it was very controversial because he suggested that God may be love, and that there might be no hell. He's not near as definitive as he needs to be. He's trying to still fit the old wine into the new wineskin. By the way, Jackie Barnard, we're sitting on your patio, Michael, and he had freehand written a poem about the new wine and the new wineskin, and I'm still waiting to get the copy from Jackie. But she asked me, as I told her about the webcast, she said, what's the webcast about? And I said, well, basically in a nutshell, it is a recovery program for Christians. And she said, really? I said, yeah. She goes, how does that work? And I told her. And she has been in touch. This is a woman from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we had a great conversation, just like Ray was saying. We talk about the gospel all the time, folks. We cannot recommend the gospel to you enough. It is the power of God unto salvation. And I know that you have an understanding of that because you're listening to this radio show right now. Stay in touch with us. We will be in touch with you. You can contact the office on the phone number at gospelrevolution.com. You can email us directly all week long. It goes right to Jeff at the office at freedom@gospelrevolution.com. You can email the webcast at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And we got to get Sean O'Halloran to the next Gospel Revolution Summit, Michael, don't you think?
Yay. Oh, I think that is an absolute must for
yeah.
sure.
Sean is a big part of this effort and is a big hero, and rightfully so, to the folks that are listening around the world. Kate, you're going to be in the U.S. For a little while yet, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right, till the end of the month,
all
at
right.
least.
Well, at least join us while you're still in the lower 58 or lower 48.
Thank you. I will.
All right. It's great to hear you, and it was great to see you. And Ray, you have a new girlfriend, you know.
Woohoo!
You know who that is, right?
Hey, Carla.
Yeah, that's right. That is exactly right. She's a big fan, Carla. And Ray have a mutual admiration society as we speak. Ray, you did such a great job, man. We couldn't have done it without you.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Yeah, and Jeff Robertson's
yeah,
a big
you,
fan. And if you got Jeff Robertson as a fan, you've done a hell of a job.
That's all you need, Ray.
That's
exactly all you
right.
need. You got me as a fan. That's all you need.
So thank you. And we love you guys. We love you, Kate.
Love you, Glenn. Thank you so much.
All right.
We appreciate you. And everybody that put in the effort to get here. And those, there were so many who were more than willing to put in
oh,
the effort.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. We got to mention Richie Mull. Richard Mull.
Yeah,
oh,
Richard.
Dude, please, yes.
Yeah, all right. So you got to picture this, folks. We're in a big old circle in Michael's living room. And Ray set up the flat screen on the kitchen or the dining room table. And Richard.
32-inch.
32-inch, thank you. Richard's visage from SoCal was there right in the circle. I mean, it wasn't like Richard was there. Richard was there. And, of course, Richard going through his cancer treatment. And yet, he was as vibrant and as involved as anybody at the summit. And what a contribution that guy made to the summit, right?
He was wonderful.
Yeah. Absolutely. You talk about the gospel and its impact on the soul. Richard has really become a demonstration of the impact of that. His reports coming back from the doctors just are not good at all. But, you know, as he was talking to me about it, and this was just on Friday when the summit began, he had gotten these reports. And, you know, he told me, he said, you know, it knocked me back for just a little bit because he kind of had his expectations for a better report than that, instead of coming out not only a better report, a much worse report. But my goodness, it was quite obvious that there was substance in that man that had nothing to do with his condition, with his wealth, his health whatsoever, but a substance so powerful that it could not be ignored.
No,
and let me say here for all of us, we love you, Richard, and your family loves you. We are your family.
Yes.
We love you dearly, and we hope that you feel surrounded by us every moment. And I know Richard is very good about staying in contact with folks. And, you know, some days it's a little bit more difficult than other days for Richard. But he's always got love to give and encouragement to someone else at all times.
You talk about the faith that is the substance of things hoped for.
Yeah.
And the evidence of things not seen. It is being manifest in Richard's life.
It's evident.
In our midst.
It is
evident. We're so privileged. We're privileged for you listening as well, folks. Let us hear from you this week at gospelrevolution.com. Jeffro, thanks for coming down from Halitosis.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
And Kate and Ray and Billy Thompson calling in from Arizona. Michael, good times, buddy. Good times.
Nothing but. We love you guys. Call, communicate any way you can. You have a multitude here and around the world that's ready to communicate and talk with you. So don't be strangers. Call in and stay in contact. It's a wonderful thing.
No doubt. There's so many ways, folks, between the website at gospelrevolution.com, the Facebook at Friends of Mike Williams of the Gospel Revolution, the webcast. You're making it happen, and we really appreciate it. I also appreciate the fact that the tea and honey was flowing readily. I would not have been able to do this webcast without the prescription and the medical and emotional care from Carla. Honey, I am coming home, so get that tea and honey ready. I need some more. Sean, thank you, buddy. You're Sean O'Halloran.
Thanks, Sean.
Producer,
thank you, Sean.
Engineer, and call screener extraordinaire.
We love Sean.
We love Sean. Yeah.
We love Sean. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody.